a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Jose Quintana very well. And he hits this one in the air out toward deep left field. Brandon Nimmo is banking on the first pitch. Jose Altuve drives out a home run. It's a quick start for the Astros. It's Altuve's 13th homer, and it's 1-0, one pitch in.
The Astros overcame a lot of adversity in winning 2 of 3 against the New York Mets this weekend to go over 500 for the first time this year, 3.5 games out of the AL West lead behind the Seattle Mariners. Apple TV broadcast. Adversity for the Astros. I mean, first off, clear bias against Jose Altuve, who goes yard immediately after the broadcaster said, oh, he really struggles against Quintana. But that wasn't the only moment. Because on Friday, the Apple TV broadcast, so cute, so modern, had Jeremy Pena hooked up to a IFB so that they could speak to him while he was out there in the field. And while Jeremy Pena showed honor on Friday, said that it wasn't the fault of the play-by-play. He and Alex Bregman had miscommunication on a pop-up that dropped right between them. Apple TV broadcast, adversity overcome by the Houston Astros.
Can we stop doing that now? Can we stop with
the on-field interviews?
Besides the All-Star game?
I do think it's kind of funny because of when it ends up backfiring spectacularly. That part's fun.
Yeah, it does. It's a bad look for kind of all involved in the moment. Because is it selfish of the broadcast to be trying to do an interview with a shortstop? I think Sean and I and Brian talked about this on Saturday. Can you do it with an outfielder who's just like way less likely to get the ball?
It makes more sense to do it with an outfielder. The problem is with no Kyle Tucker out there, who do you want to be doing the interview if you're Apple TV?
That's true. I guess who was in the lineup? You couldn't, Chaz.
You're probably asking for Altuve first. You're asking for Alex Bregman second. And then afterwards, who are you asking for?
Yeah, I like Jake Myers. He's had a good season. I don't want Jake Myers doing interviews. Just a guess.
Why not?
Seems easily distracted.
Whoa, what does that mean? He's a good fielder.
Payne is easily distracted.
Pena might be easily distracted.
It's not his fault, but it was...
But Pena's got a lot of distractions. Everybody wants his babies.
That's true.
It's a tough life.
So then he should be used to the distraction.
Yeah, probably. I mean, if you can make a catch while somebody's screaming at Minute Maid Park, Jeremy, have my babies! Let me do a vodka tequila shot out of your stomach! Let me do that! Yeah!
Yeah, they got it. They can't do that stuff.
Vodka tequila shot sounds horrible, by the way.
Yeah, that does not sound great.
No, I don't know. I hope no one ever has mixed that before. That sounds like a Four Horsemen.
You ever seen people do the mat shot?
Yeah, it's called the Jersey Turnpike.
I saw it happen once.
I did it once for my 21st birthday.
Oh, you did it?
Yeah, it was gross.
Is that like a tradition, though?
I was pretty hammered at that point. No, yeah. It wasn't. Oh, okay. No. I was just like, how terrible can it be?
It was pretty bad.
I mean, I don't remember much after that, so at the very least there was that. The Astros overcame a ton of adversity over the weekend. Think about this on Sunday. So only 3 hits from Altuve, who had a very bad game. I mean, some self-inflicted adversity by Altuve with, you know, forgetting how many outs there was. But John Singleton, Chaz McCormick, Joey Loperfido and Trey Cabbage drove in 6 of the runs that you scored yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Bregman, Altuve, Alvarez, 3 hits between the 3.
Yeah. That's one of the things that's I think is why the season's turned around so much, too, is while you've gotten much better production from Alex Bregman, who's one of the best baseball players in the league the last month of the season, but without Tucker, the bottom of your order, the other guys have stepped in. This kind of goes back to Junior Bronco said earlier about Jose Abreu, is that you have guys in the lineup who are at the bottom of it who are just more capable of just giving you any kind of production. That one, you know, Loperfido gets it done. Singleton obviously has a great day in yesterday's game, having 3 hits. You can argue it wasn't the best decision to take him out, but it worked out. That's helped them so much in these games to where if the top of your order is not giving you anything, at least the other guys are consistently. Like, that's why Loperfido, I think, is still hitting, he's hitting 305 in the big leagues. It's been super impressive what he's done for this team. It just, it helps them so much when your good guys aren't going, that you have other guys that are now competent, consistently playing.
Yeah, and you're getting more than you expect out of most of those guys. I mean, Loperfido continues to be pretty damn good for them. Singleton had the home run yesterday. So they got to keep doing it until Kyle Tucker gets back. More adversity overcome. Josh Hader was supposed to pitch in the ninth yesterday, and then you had the 2-hour and 45-minute rain delay. I feel like you should at the very least have to try to play out the next half inning. I get it. It was pouring rain. Oh, no. The pitchers won't be able to grip the baseball. Give them, stick them. Let them doctor the balls for the wet games. I think it would be cool to see baseball in the elements. I understand it would be scary facing a fastball going that fast, and there's danger that it slips and hits somebody in the head or something like that, but I don't know. Baseball in the elements, why not? I saw a soccer game get paused over the weekend in the Euro Cup.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was like, it was like golf ball sized hail, it looks like.
Yeah, I played in golf ball sized hail for no money on Saturday a couple of weeks ago. Yeah,
you're not a sophomore.
At Clemens High School. For no money, just for the love of the game.
Yeah, you're not a sophomore.
Play in the weather. Why is football the one sport where weather does not stop the game? Although I guess it does now for lightning strikes in football games.
Well, lightning strikes. I feel like when you talk about weather and playing through it, I think we exclude lightning strikes. Because we all know those are just the rules. You can't go in the pool. Can't play football. Can't play. You can't do anything in lightning. Lightning's bad. What do you think about the Grimace coverage this weekend? Now that we were like,
I hope Grimace is dead. I hope Grimace finds himself subject of one of those 2023 videos that were being put on TikTok where they showed kids that would have the Grimace shake only to be found dead in an alleyway with purple coming out of their nose later. I hope Grimace is dead. I've never been a McDonald's guy. Never understood the appeal. I feel like their burgers are terrible. I feel like their fries are vastly overrated that everyone talks about. And any shots that the McDonald's Corporation takes as a whole, I feel like are deserved. Wow. I mean, how desperate are you that you're jumping onto the New York Mets not playing like ass for the first time in their history for like 2 weeks, and you're jumping on that to try to maintain relevance and clout capture?
To be fair, I don't feel like you're much of a fast food guy, though.
No, I'm not.
It does sound like McDonald's was extra disdain.
But McDonald's, to me, I mean, if I could pick any fast food chain, I would pick just about every fast food chain before McDonald's.
Okay.
I've never understood the appeal for their food. The chicken nuggets are literally it. And when they had the two apple pies for a dollar, that was cool. Mm. They don't even do that anymore.
No, they don't do that anymore. The apple pie is elite.
Oh, we got flurries. The machine never works.
Machine never works. The fries are only good like 50% of the time.
The fries are never good. Everyone acts like the fries are good.
See, I think if you get them hot,
if you get them hot.
That's what I said.
Look at what you just said.
I said 50% before that.
It's crazy how many times you go to McDonald's and you're just going to get basically like room temperature food.
100%.
Just sitting out there for a while.
But yeah, I was impressed with the bullpen too in yesterday's game. Like the two guys they've brought up, Brian King and then Luis Contreras, have been pretty solid. I mean, Contreras hasn't given up a run yet for the Astros. King was good in his 1 2/3. Yesterday, those guys have come up and been a huge help because you don't want to pitch Montero, clearly.
No.
After yesterday's game, I don't know why he's on the team.
Yep, I agree with you there.
If you're using 8 bullpen pitchers, and really you basically use 9 because you couldn't use Hader, why is Montero on this team?
Yeah, he's the next one to go, but I wonder if Jim Crane's going to be able to stomach getting rid of not one but two bad contracts that were his doing. In 1 month. We'll see.
It's a new month now.
That's true, I guess. But it's still less than a month since Jose Abreu's gone. You overcame Seth Martinez and Brian Abreu blowing that 4-run lead yesterday. Mm-hmm. You overcame a 6-1 deficit after 3 innings on Saturday with Fromber having his routine Fromber stuff. You overcame some really bad umpiring, whether it was what Jose Altuve got ejected for. That was ridiculous. I can't believe that there's no ability to look back at that because it very clearly went off his foot. What, is Jose Altuve that bad of a cheater?
And by the way, the New York Post believes so.
Of course.
And everyone in New York thinks so. The comment section for that New York Post article about Altuve getting ejected were, wow, vicious. But do you think that somebody is going to jump up in the air and do a half spin for any reason other than they hit the ball directly off of their foot?
What's the point of replay? I got it. Like, why do we have it? Like, why is there replay in sports if you can't challenge everything?
That's my biggest thing. Why are there some easy, like, I get why some things can't be reviewed in the, like, oh, there's just no way to actually review this. Like some fourth downs, like when it's inconclusive, where it's just bodies on top of bodies and stuff, and you don't know where the ball is.
This play was inconclusive.
Yes.
But you should have the right to challenge it. If you can challenge, if they can look at a camera and figure out if a ball hit the person or not when it's coming from the pitcher, which they can do, why can't they challenge this or look at this?
I don't get it.
Like, what's the point of replay, then?
This is where it turns into, I actually rather just not have replay.
Yes.
Than to have replay on not everything.
Even if it costs Jose Altuve a game, and now he might be in timeout for this afternoon's game against the Blue Jays because he's not in the lineup.
Ooh, is he in the...
It might have been because of the base running blunder as well. And they're like, hey, we're just going to give you a day off. You know, been through a lot.
What's more confusing? The ability to not challenge everything in sports or Jose Altuve's base running ability? Which one's more confusing? Because how can you be one of the best second basemen of all time and be that terrible at running the bases? It baffles me.
Yeah, he's really bad at
it. I don't.
And the funny thing is, too, it gets lost in the shuffle because you had two guys get caught stealing in the ninth and the tenth.
Yes. But Altuve is just
awful. He's so bad at it. It's
crazy. He's awful at it. He's a great baseball player. He can't run the bases.
It also makes no sense because, I mean, he led the American League in stolen bases in 14 and 15. Yes. That part, too. I mean, he's been a good base runner before. What happened?
I don't understand.
He just forgot? Forgot what he was doing out there? He's still fast, clearly. He still steals bases from time to time.
He just does dumb things.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I don't get it. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What was your favorite adversity that the Houston Astros overcame over the weekend? And coming up next, oh boy. Is there any way that we can defend these umpires that we were just talking about? Does one of us have to, I don't know, defend the thin blue line? Maybe we'll do that next. Galan and George, stick around.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now we're going to need somebody on the bases who have clearly seen that ball hit Altuve's leg.
Now we'll get a peek at it on our matches from Supermo, but it caught that front of the cleat, maybe, of Jose Altuve.
Yep, redirected the baseball, and unfortunately nobody on the bases saw that clearly. And so Jose is going to be on the ground down, and Jose just fired his helmet down, and he's going to get tossed. He gets tossed by James Jean in his first game as a home plate umpire. Jose had a tough day today earlier when he was thrown out on the bases, forgetting how many outs there were. And today, in his final at bat, he gets thrown out after arguing on a ball that he clearly fouled off his foot that was not seen by any of the four umpires. So Altuve ejected here in the top half of the seventh inning.
I mean, watch the video. It clearly hit him in the foot. I don't know how all four umpires missed that.
That's where it's like it's so different than the NFL. In the NFL, you might have a play where there's really only one referee in position to see exactly what's happening. You have four umpires all staring at Jose Altuve in that moment, and none of them were like, yeah, probably his foot. Because you even have Blum in the call says maybe. So even Blum in the moment isn't totally sure. And there is a lot of the views of it. You have to like, they're really zooming on it. So I can see why the umpires had to question it a little bit.
Altuve jumping up should have been tell number one. Even the Mets broadcast saw it. And it's going to lend us into a segment that we haven't done in a while, Joe. It's a segment where we discuss refereeing as a whole because I think Sean asked a great question in the last segment. Let's play a little music.
Who Who cares about players or the actual game?
In all my years of baseball, I've never seen such an
astute evaluation of a potentially difficult decision.
We came to watch the refs.
I am the law.
Welcome to the Ref Show.
Okay.
It's been so long since I've heard this.
I don't even remember hearing this, honestly.
It was downloaded. I imagine it was probably a one and done.
Yeah.
It might have been a one and done.
I'm glad it's back.
Because there's another segment that I did called Back the Blue. I guess we've just confused segments over
here. Yeah. And this one's from April 25th, 2013. Or 2023.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So I do think that there's another version of this, but I like this.
I do too.
This is the question I'm going to ask here, because this means we don't have to defend the umpires. Would we be better off without the replay? I mean, in that moment right there, because Altuve got ejected, you needed the replay. But for the back and forth and not knowing what the hell is going on, I would have wanted to see at least something there. I know if you're in the ballpark, you're probably not going to see anything at all. They never show the replays in these stadiums.
And they don't tell you what's going on, which is part of the thing that drives me the most nuts about baseball.
The umpire should right away.
Yeah, they don't explain their calls to the fans. So you're just – it happened in the Orioles game I went to versus the Astros, where something happened and no one in the ballpark knows what's going on. And then I think it was – they miscounted balls and strikes on Altuve, actually. And all of a sudden, Altuve was back in the box. And you're like, what is happening right now? They don't tell anyone. I do believe that if they just got rid of replay and they got rid of the box on the screen and they got rid of the yellow line in NFL games and they just let the referees tell you what's going on, there would be anger, but it wouldn't be as much. Because you can see what's going on, and they're so wrong.
I would like this, though. I would like to have my memory wiped, knowing that we can replay things and see them, and then never have it again.
Yeah.
Because the problem is, we've already seen the ability to overturn calls in every single sport now. In baseball, in basketball, in football. We've become conditioned to it. I would like to be unconditioned to it and just accept that sometimes the umpires or referees are going to have a little fun.
Because guess what? We already get that. They have replay. What happened this weekend already happened. There are situations where the umpires can just go, didn't see it that way. Whoops, missed it. Sorry, Jose. Like that, we already live in that world. So the idea of exclusively living that, like, it is an all or nothing proposition where it's either review everything and review everything ... with a shot clock on it. Like, we don't need more than 45 seconds of, if it takes longer than 45 seconds to decide, guess what? Not conclusive enough. But that, if you just take it away all entirely and you just live in a world where it's like bad break, that happens. Cause guess what? Bad breaks already happen.
Yeah.
Where you just, oh, missed that one. My bad.
Well, and to what you're saying, baseball just tried this. They tried to take something away from the players to cause them to stop being so upset. They took away the strike zone box on their iPads.
Yeah.
This year. And on Thursday, I think it was the 27th, the Players Union fought to get it back. But the reason why they took it away was because they thought it incited anger, basically, when Altuve would look at his iPad and say, oh, he missed that strike by 6 inches? And then they were like, oh, well, I guess we'll give it back to you. So they tried to put the bad back in the box, and it didn't work.
And I get at some point, because you see it with, like, the what's on, like, certain websites or, like, the MLB app or a ESPN app where it has the box on it, but like that box isn't calibrated to Jose Altuve or Yordan Alvarez. Like, you get the same box for both guys, and so some of the screenshots of, like, can you believe this was called a strike on Jose Altuve, where it's like, well, yeah, I kind of, or a ball on Jose Altuve, it's like, yeah, I can, like, yeah, yes, that if it's not calibrated, this box is meaningless. It's just a rough approximation of what a strike zone is.
Would you be fine if they got rid of replay?
I do enjoy that we get mad about things so often, specifically these. It actually provides for memorable moments in games and leads to more content. So, yeah, I'd be game for it, 100%. Especially if you keep on going back to it as the broadcast goes along and they do show the instant replay that was not reviewable. I mean, that just gives you a little bit of something, a little pep in your step. We all want to laugh, cry, and be angry every single day, right? Maybe not the latter, but I want to be all of those things.
I don't think Jimmy V had that last one.
I want the full rainbow of emotion.
The biggest thing they need to do is just turn it directly into what the NFL, there's very few things you can't challenge. You can't challenge penalties. That's pretty much it. They just need to bring back, like, into baseball, bring a full challenge system in. Let Joe Espada challenge this. There should not be a determination of what is a reviewable and not a reviewable thing. Just let them challenge it. And if they lose, they lose. But, because like, I don't know if you challenge this, if this gets overturned. I'm not sure the evidence is conclusive enough.
But if this was the case, you can challenge a couple of things a game, but you only get a couple a game. But you can challenge anything. There's no limitations. Yeah, that would actually, I think, speed the game up. I think that should be the case in the NFL, too. I know that they have the automatic review at the end of the games. No, I think you should get 2-3 challenges if you get one of them correct. And it's on you to throw that flag out there. Because if it's all the time, it slows things down and it gets annoying. And sometimes we're reviewing things that you have no chance of actually overturning. Generally, ball spot in baseball, or excuse me, in football more than anything.
Yeah, and like Joe said, like there's already, like you can't review penalties. So there's already a level of like, oops, missed that call. So you already have that. Like, and arguably, some penalties way more consequential to the outcomes of games than a, like you said, a missed spot on a third down. So, yes, we spend 5 minutes of Gene Steratore and Tony Romo going back and forth on, is his knee down there? I don't know. Where's the ball, though, when his knee is down? And now I have to get the telestrator out and draw a crooked line to see what yard line he's on. Where it's like, yes, and then the next play on 4th and 1, like you said, they can call a 50-yard pass interference, and now it doesn't matter.
What'd you think of the challenge system for balls and strikes that we saw in Sugarland?
At the Sugarland game on Thursday?
Yeah.
I liked it. I felt like and maybe I missed it, I feel like the center field should have given the actual strike zone so we could determine whether or not it was or wasn't. Because we basically were just hearing the umpire's word. We weren't actually getting a visual to accompany said word.
Yeah, it happens. It is
quick, though.
It's fast. It's good that it's fast, but also because they don't tell you what's going on. Like, we were close enough at this game where we could hear what the umpire was saying. So, like, if you were at Minute Maid and they were doing this, you'd be, like, squinting to see what hand signal he made.
Yeah, they would.
But it's, I like it.
Baseball, they need to have the umpires with what the NBA refs have and what the NFL refs have, where they can just turn on their microphone and the whole stadium can hear them. Yeah. I don't know why MLB, like, they point, make a finger gesture, point. Make a hand gesture, and the 25,000 people that are there, not at Space Cowboys game, but at Major League games, they all have to interpret what it means.
I mean, as we learned this weekend, they can't count to 4, so maybe turning on a microphone is challenging for the umpires, and that's why it's not there.
Gallant and George, GSBN 97.5, 92.5. He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes behind the glass. Another episode of The Ref Show. In the rear view mirror. Up next, we are 66 days away from the start of the NFL season. 66! It'll make you remember a Houston Texan that for a moment was good. It did not last very long. And we got some training camp holdout watch to get to. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
And hush!
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
66 days away from the start of the NFL season. Closer and closer. The best number 66 in NFL history. Somewhat boring number. You got some offensive linemen. Alan Faneca, Larry Little, Gene Hickerson, Bulldog Turner.
Good name.
Nick Buonaconte, Billy Shaw and Ray Nitschke, all number 66 who made it into the Hall of Fame. The only Houston Texan that played much wearing number 66, Nick Martin, 2017 second round pick. The only other one was Delwan Robinson, who played three games from 2008 to 2009.
Nick Martin, he was one of those guys that when people made that pick, they really liked it.
They liked it, and his rookie season, everyone seemed to really like the pick, and for whatever reason, it just did not work out after that.
I can't wait to get to the 50s. These offensive line numbers are bummers.
I thought there would be more fun defensive lineman numbers in the 70s. The 60s is rough.
Yeah, 60s is not great.
60s is almost always a number that's boring. I wore number 63.
Why?
Because I played with the, get this, lineman when I was on my peewee football team, okay, despite being one of the smallest players on the team. I still have no idea why they put me over there. Huh. Maybe the man I am today.
Oh, really? Being in the trenches really made you that
great. It did make
grind.
Me tougher, I will say, but I never understood why they put me with the linemen. I wore 76 and 63 my first 2 years, and I was embarrassed by it.
Huh.
It's like, what am I doing? Why am I wearing these numbers? Why couldn't they get a cool number?
So there wasn't like a fat period in your life?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Like I
wasn't sure if there was like a chunky Paul that eventually like
chunky Paul was immediately upon his birth chunky because I broke my mom's hip. Sorry, mom. Oh. It's 9.8. I was a 9.8er.
Wait, she actually broke her hip?
Yeah, I broke her hips. Yeah, I have a big head. Sorry.
Oh.
What? I'm just saying.
Hey, lucky your mom still loves you.
Yeah, I know. I know. I always get her a nice Mother's Day gift. All right, training camp. It's not here yet.
We're so close, though. I'm so ready for football to be back. Yeah.
I don't know how ready I am for training camp to be back, but I am excited for more storylines and who's holding out and who's not. But this is what we had, the latest news about who might and who might not hold out at NFL training camp. Cowboys wide receiver CeeDee Lamb is not expected at camp without a new deal. Browns wide receiver Amari Cooper is trying to get paid this year. That's at least what he said when he turned down a streamer who was trying to race him in a sprint. Trying to get paid this year, don't want to get hurt. Per Darius Slay, he is the most underappreciated wide receiver in the NFL. Well, I think with Deshaun Watson and his inaccuracy rate, which we found out from Warren Sharp, I guess he was the most inaccurate quarterback in the NFL last year, he might continue to be underappreciated.
I think I agree with that. He's a really good wide receiver, and he got traded for, what, a fifth-round pick?
Dallas moved on from him pretty quickly.
Yeah. How much better would they be off right now? I mean, I don't know how you pay Amari and CeeDee Lamb. But
they would be better.
Yeah, what a bad trade that was.
They would be significantly better if they had the two of them.
Yeah, so he's at least in the top category of underrated guys in the NFL.
Yeah, I think so. I think the big problem is for a lot of these guys who are underappreciated, they're stuck with a quarterback that's not good.
And yeah.
Deshaun Watson is currently not good. Deshaun Watson has to prove that he's good again.
I'm not sure the currently ever goes away. I think he just might not be good again.
Yeah. He has to prove
that
he is good.
Because I think back to, obviously, I mean, Vic was gone for a little bit longer than Deshaun. Vic was pretty terrible when he first came back for the Eagles. He was really out of shape. But it was that next season.
He took the second big jump. He was good.
Yeah. So I kind of thought Deshaun would do that. Was last the first year back where he played half the games, was terrible. Expected. Next year would be good again. And he's not.
I'm trying to think of other underappreciated players in the NFL, and it's really hard because I have to think about who's good and then are they appreciated, and so it's a hard list to come up with. But Amari Cooper, I think he's the best answer.
Yeah.
Is Amon-Ra St. Brown appreciated enough to be in this list, or is he too appreciated?
I would say he's too appreciated.
I think he's become appreciated now.
Okay.
Yeah. Michael Pittman might be on this list. I think he's a pretty good wide receiver.
Pittman's pretty good.
Yeah, but
Amari Cooper's better, and they're both not appreciated very much.
I think what will be interesting to see, to go back to Amon-Ra St. Brown, is what happens with Jameson Williams finally ready to go for the Lions.
Yeah, can he more than like 10 catches in a season?
It would be really funny if Jameson Williams, I mean, everyone thought, oh, the guy.
Yeah.
And then obviously things have happened since then.
Does he have more suspensions? Yeah. Does he have more suspensions than touchdowns in the NFL?
Yes, definitely.
It's pretty close.
All right, continuing to go to NFL training camp holdout watch. Brandon Ayuk was on the Pivot podcast with Ryan Clark and I think Channing Crowder, Fred Taylor, and was asked about contract talks with the San Francisco 49ers. Here's what he had to say.
Throughout this process, there was times where we were super close, or I felt like I was telling people, like, tell my agent, let me get my suit ready. I'm ready. I'm headed back to the Bay. I got to get right to sign this contract. There's days and times, like in the past month or so, where you could say, yeah, we're pretty far apart. So,
pretty far apart.
Isn't that interesting, Paul? Like, how do you be that close to a contract where you're getting your suit ready to then all of a sudden being pretty far apart?
Yeah.
That's really interesting. You don't hear that very often.
I wonder what changed, what the 49ers did. But ultimately, I think it goes back to the 49ers drafted a wide receiver in the first round. And Ayuk is probably thinking to himself, oh, they're not necessarily going to pay me. And I think Deebo Samuel is probably looking at things in the exact same way. Brandon Ayuk also was asked, like, where will you play this season? San Francisco? Somewhere else? Here's what he had to say.
Under uniform. Probably a Niner uniform. I mean, if not a Niner uniform, probably a Washington Commander uniform. If not a Washington Commander uniform, probably a Steelers uniform.
So if he's not playing for the 49ers, he's either going to be with the Commanders, which is where that Jaden Daniels video of him talking and saying, oh my God, they don't want me anymore, first went viral, or the Steelers. Why would he want to go to the Steelers? This is my real question.
The Steelers have been connected to him for a while. I think back to the NFL draft, people were speculating that the Steelers would trade for Ayuk, so maybe he just knows that they really want him and want to pay him. Washington makes a lot of sense. Like, they have Terry McLaurin, but, like, they could really use a guy like Ayuk for Jalen Daniels.
Yeah. I don't know, though.
I don't want to go to Pittsburgh if I'm a wide receiver.
Not with this current situation,
yeah,
which is Russell Wilson and or Justin Fields, but probably, yeah, Russell Wilson.
Well, Justin Fields is returning kicks in the Madden trailer, which I think is hilarious.
That's a troll.
I would much, which is so weird for a video game to do. I would way rather be in Washington and be in the, at least there's an unknown. You're playing with a guy who just won the Heisman. Like,
I get all the factors when you list them out like that, why Washington's more attractive. It is hard to be like, I'd rather play for the Washington Commanders than the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, saying that sentence out loud is crazy, but I guess, you know, no Daniel Snyder makes it a little bit easier of just being like, the stability of the Pittsburgh Steelers, no losing seasons, whatever. Get out of here. I want to play with a rookie quarterback and for Dan Quinn. That's not something I had on my 2024 bingo card.
He's right, though.
He's right. It's just, what world are we living in where the Washington football team is more attractive than the Steelers?
He must not know that much about the Commanders' history. Maybe he's not up on NFL current events. Just because Daniel Snyder's gone does not mean that they're back to being functional.
No, it's going to take a couple years to, like, be a professional organization.
I kind of also hear, I know these two organizations are going to pay me what I want.
I think that's what
through back channeling, and that's why I'm openly naming the Steelers and Washington while I'm currently under contract with another team.
Yeah. That he's naming those other teams, I wonder if there's a tamper charge in the future if he ends up with one of those teams.
Yeah, because he clearly knows something of like what they're willing to do.
Alvin Kamara may hold out of Saints camp. Running back for the New Orleans Saints. Doesn't have the same buzz it used to. Plus, it's a running back holding out. Oh, cool, dude.
Yeah.
You're screwed still.
Yeah, he's got bad advice happening right now. I would show up to camp if I was Alvin Kamara.
I think I would.
Too. I would show up to camp and then hit, like, oh, my back hurts.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Rest day.
Yeah, exactly. I can't believe that three of our four stories were someone not expected to be at training camp. Early July football
camp.
That's why I can't wait for training camp, because at least we know if these guys show up or not.
How many of these guys will show up?
Stop talking about not showing up. Actually not showing up.
I think all four of these guys will show up for training camp.
They'll show up by day two. Maybe they don't show up day one, but don't you get popped like $50,000 for every time
it's
you
miss. It's a good amount.
It's, yeah.
It's hard for them to excuse it as well. I don't think the NFL allows for players to make, for teams to make excuses for the guys who sit out. Also, one last one. Bears safety, Joe George, Jonathan Owens is going to be sitting out training camp to watch the Olympics. Wow.
Good.
Good. It's setting a bad example for Bears culture, and you're
saying,
cool with it.
It's saying family matters. That's what
family matters.
Family matters.
I mean, he at least is seeing his wife in the Olympics.
Yeah,
so, I did leave that out conveniently at first.
Support your wife.
If he's
such slander.
Well, I mean, the Bears, listen, it's all about the championship.
No, what's untrue that we said so far?
Simone Biles has won plenty of gold medals. This would be like my sister requiring me to continue to watch The Nutcracker, which she was in, which I've seen no less than 50 times. I hate The Nutcracker with a passion. Shut up.
Do you go see it every year? Or
movie? Okay. No. I saw it. I used to go in.
I was laughing at how many times you said no.
I would go and I would have headphones in and I would listen to the radio on my Walkman, specifically Patriots football games. Why are you guys laughing?
I feel bad for you. I'm laughing.
I didn't want to go.
I'm laughing because I'm picturing you as Steve Bartman.
Yeah.
With the headphones.
Steve Bartman watching ballet.
But with giant cans on so everyone knows that you're not listening.
Yeah, whatever. You know what?
Whatever.
It's torture. I had to go there so many times. I had to do it in kindergarten and second grade.
Oh, you had to be in the Nutcracker?
I did ballet.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did it in kindergarten and in second grade. It was a controversial subject.
Wait, you skipped first?
I didn't do it in first grade.
Yeah.
Okay. Was there a reason behind that?
I didn't really want to do it. And I stopped that after second grade because my friends were making fun of me. I got very mad about that.
I can imagine.
Yeah, exactly.
So what we've learned about Paul today.
But I was in the Nutcracker, and I crushed my role where I would throw a temper tantrum if I didn't get the right present. Because they would give out guns, and they'd give out a sword. And if they gave me the sword, I would be pissed. I wanted the guns.
Okay.
So I didn't get any gun toys at home.
So that was your only opportunity to get the gun toys.
Pretty much, yeah.
Wait, was that the role that you were in?
I played one of Claire, the main character's little brother's friends.
Okay.
Okay, but your role was that you were upset with the gifts.
Yeah, but it was a great coaching job
by whoever put this together.
You know what's crazy? I was legitimately just angry about the toy the first time I did it, and they thought it was hilarious, and they wanted me to keep doing
That's
it.
That's great.
But I was actually, I wasn't acting. That was method right there.
So things we learned about Paul today. Ballet and did the Nutcracker twice. Skipped first grade. Wore the numbers in the 70s and 60s and played offensive line in Pee Wee football and got fake tan on his pants.
Yeah. Eventful.
It's been an informative Paul Gallant show.
This is only life. An hour and a half, too.
Coming up next.
What else will we learn about Paul?
Oh, well, guess what? I still hate foreign countries and how they're stealing our football. Worse, how they're beating us in football. How did this happen again? Against the birthplace of Hitler, for God's sakes. Galata, George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
You are back with Galata, George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
The most recent NBA news, free agency underway. Klay Thompson going to Dallas. 3 years and $50 million.
Yes, text line. I said he was going to get a lot more than that. Whoops. They're making fun of me.
They are? You did say $200
million. I mean,
I thought you were talking about Paul George, to be fair.
I thought a bad team would sign him to a lot more money than this.
I'm glad,
huge pay cut.
I'm glad that at the very least there is some sanity in the NBA. So now Klay Thompson is the second Warrior to leave the island. Harrison Barnes was the first to go to Dallas.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm curious what the Warriors' next move is.
The Washed Warriors. They go to Dallas.
Andrew Bogut also went to Dallas.
Yeah. Didn't know that.
Because the Warriors have to have a counter to losing Klay Thompson. I'm curious what that would be.
It's got to be cheap. It's got to... It's going to have to be cheap.
Yeah.
Because they're over the second luxury tax. Yeah. So.
I think they are about to do the Tank Yaruski.
What? You think they would trade Curry?
No.
I don't think they'll trade Steph, but I think that they're going to do whatever they can to make it just Steph and anybody else and hope that they can build a young core around him for the last couple of years of Curry's career. But I think the next couple of years are going to be rough for the Warriors.
It is crazy when you think about that they had the second overall pick, the seventh and like 10th overall pick in two drafts over the in the 2020 and 21 drafts. They had three top 10 picks and they just do not have a young core.
Yeah, they just whiffed.
They just whiffed three times.
Who was the guy that they got?
Wiseman was the big guy.
He's in Detroit, I think.
No, he got traded off Detroit, I think. I think he's... Oh, no, maybe that's Marvin Bagley. Yeah, same guy. There's the same guy. Who one of them's on the Wizards, one's on the Pistons. They're the two worst teams in the league, and they have him on it.
So, in football, this is unbelievable. This International Federation of American Football under 20 team this year blows. They are horrible. I don't care if I'm talking about college-aged kids. We're the United States of America. Losing to Japan 42-21 is one thing. The United States lost 32-25 to the birthplace of Hitler, Austria.
I think you have to disband this team. Like, they can't compete the next time. Just they're not allowed in.
How?
Just say we don't participate in football that's below us. Because that's clearly what this is. Like,
no, we should compete. You should never, ever, ever hide from a game. Especially if it's in a sport that we are better than everybody at.
If you're not going to put your best foot forward, don't play.
No, that is Bears logic.
They lost to Japan and Austria.
Yeah. This team, I think some scholarships should be reconsidered.
Are these kids on scholarship?
I think some of them have to be, don't you?
It sounds like a lot of them are like D3 players.
I was going to say, I feel like there would be stats and we would at least like, oh, this guy was a 5-star last year. Like if they're actually sending the best under 20s, you're talking about junior or sophomores in college.
Yeah.
You're talking about guys that we theoretically have watched before.
Arch Manning should be on this team. He should be the quarterback.
Yeah, he's not going to play this year.
This is beneath him.
It's America, Paul, Sean.
Yeah, look at those Paul, bums. Sorry. Look at those bums he had. I don't want to play with those bums getting hurt by those trash-ass offensive linemen that they're probably playing behind. That's the thing. They should dominate at least if they just win every game 13-3, I'd be fine with that. Just if you're not going to get the high-end skill guys or high-end quarterbacks, at least get the high-end tackles and the high-end guards and just run the ball down these teams' throats. Like, what are we doing?
Football.
Yeah, old-school football.
Yeah, run the triple option.
There we go.
Why aren't the freshmen and sophomores from the Naval Academy and Army just playing on this team?
You know what? That makes a lot of sense.
Represent the country again.
They would win.
That makes a lot of sense.
Run the triple option. You think Japan knows how to stop the triple option?
Japan didn't know how to stop firebombs or nukes. So.
Say the answer is no.
Yeah. I
just love the sentence. Do you think Japan knows how to defend the triple?
I don't think so. I've never considered it before.
I don't think they do.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Losing to Japan and Austria, I get that there's like a lot of Americans that are probably stationed in both countries given World War II and all the military.
They should play for the American team, though.
I agree with that, but don't we do that with soccer?
Yes.
Like, aren't all of our soccer players like from American bases in NATO countries? Whatever.
Tim Tebow was a missionary thing because he was born in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. There's another guy who was born in like Japan.
I mean, he's a college football player. Oh, I meant for soccer. But I get what you're saying. More football in other countries. Travis Kelce on the Kelce and Kelce show. I forget what it's called.
New Heights.
New Heights podcast.
I had it up.
Travis Kelce says where he's going to play next after the Kansas City Chiefs.
There's no dumb question number two. Would you play for a team in London? Yes.
Yes, 100%.
Unquestionably.
I'm waiting for that team to play for another team other than the Chiefs. Like, that's the only situation is if I get to play abroad.
Like, your home team be abroad?
Yeah.
How long do you think it'll be before there's an NFL team in London?
Less than 10 years.
You think within the decade?
I don't know for a fact it's going to be London, but I think the teams.
I think if there's an NFL team, the first city it's coming to is London. I'll go on record for that.
I mean, it's where we've been playing for the most overseas, yeah.
Toronto or Mexico City, number one. Just going to be easier. Probably Toronto, because Mexico City and Mexico isn't exactly the best country to live in these days.
Yeah, and the games have been canceled multiple times because of the quality of the field.
Exactly. So, if it happens, I think that's where it will happen. Can we stop, though, with all these guys that are pushing for these overseas markets? DeAndre Hopkins used to be a guy who wanted to play in, like, Paris or London because he's such a fashion icon. And now you've got Travis Kelce. He goes on a couple of international tours with his girlfriend, and all of a sudden he wants to steal American jobs and move another NFL team out of the country.
Yeah, don't listen to the one or two players that say things like this. It's a terrible idea.
Awful.
Look what's happening in hockey. Like, what you have in hockey is you have American-born players being drafted to teams in Canada, and then they're immediately trying to navigate their way away from Canada to come to the United States, to come back home. That's what would happen there. If Caleb Williams is drafted to the London Squires.
You're just thinking of English sounding words.
I was like, I gotta figure something out here. I
gotta be the London Knights.
I gotta land the plane.
It's gonna London be the Lords, Knights, right?
Okay, yeah, the London Lords, the London Knights, the London Dragons,
the London royalty.
Yeah,
the Kings.
What the London incest?
What probably. I don't think they'd make. Oh, that. Yeah. What would the logo be?
Game of Thrones.
Like you draft the first time the quarterback's taken first overall, he's never going to training camp.
Shedeur Sanders?
Yeah. Oh.
No thanks.
You know what? I'm back in.
With the first pick of the 2025 NFL draft, the London Bean select Shedeur Sanders.
Deion Sanders, Shedeur Sanders, they take over London. Let's see what happens.
That would be fun. They're bowing to Deion after a couple weeks.
Yeah. Let's just see the chaos that unfolds.
I actually would not mind that. They would.
It'd be funny. If you're going to do it, you have to do it in the craziest way possible.
And yeah, let's be honest. The English would have no idea how to deal with that.
It would be so funny.
They don't get that media access in their English leagues. They don't get it. Everything is very, very. You can't ask tough questions. And now here, if you ask a tough question, you're going to have Deion Sanders potentially owning you while you ask a question while eating out of a can of beans, because that's what every Englishman carries with them, a can of beans around at all times. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. All right, up next, the Houston Texans preseason hype is getting out of control, especially when you hear what these two prominent football minds had to say about it. A part of the team that I think is certainly a question mark. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Want to talk to you guys about LeBurge, Lake Charles. Myself, Sean, and Brian were there this weekend. It was a great experience, as always. But we also got a little upgrade while we were there this time. We were there for UFC 303, and we got to experience, you know, like the full show inside the sports book. When you walk in, you see the big TV. There's these really nice leather chairs up front. We were wondering what that was all about. So we asked them if there was any available. There happened to be a couple cancellations from their McGregor fight. So they let Sean, myself, and my wife, Dana, hang out in the front row. And this is what it typically is. It's $25 an hour, one free drink an hour. You get food discounts. And while you're there, you're front row and center. You get the best seats in the house for the best screen. So NFL Sunday, college football, UFC, you can absolutely get the best deal in the house when you're there at the sportsbook for just $25 an hour. Can't recommend it enough. We had a great time sitting up there watching the UFC fights this weekend. But you got the 19 betting kiosk, you got the massive TV, you got the TV outside. The pool's great. Went checked out that this weekend as well. And also the food just throughout the property is a great time. LeBurge Lake Charles, absolutely the place to go when you want to leave Texas and bet on your Texas teams. Tell them Joe George sent you by.
ESPN 97.5.